Thank you, man. All right, we are in Romans chapter 5 tonight. Romans chapter 5. Not going to do a lot of review tonight. I've been doing a lot of review every Thursday night. I'm going to title tonight's lesson, The Pathway to Hope. The Pathway to Hope. And we take the foundation for the study tonight from back in chapter 4 when Paul said about Abraham in chapter 4, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Now remember, chapter 4 is illustrating how people became right with God in the Old Testament. And it was not the ceremonial law, because Abraham lived long before it was ever given. And it was not the ceremonial law because David lived much long after the law, and he never used the ceremonial law to get right with God. So it was not the ceremonial law. It was no other program. It was simply forgiveness by asking on David's part. And on Abraham's part, righteousness was given due to faith. Believed. He simply believed, and God gave him faith. And God gave him righteousness. And he uses these two Old Testament characters, one before the law and one after the law, to emphasize how we get right with God, because we're all guilty. He proved that. We're all guilty. We proved it in the first three chapters. Then illustrated it in chapter 4 by these two Old Testament characters. And in illustrating, he used a statement concerning Abraham in chapter 4, verse 18. Against hope, against the odds, yet he believed against the odds. Now, so there's a pathway to this hope. We find it in chapter 5. How do we that live in 2020... how do we make that pathway like Abraham did? How? And chapter 5 gives it. Chapter 5 is a chapter about grace. It's about grace and accessing that grace. And it's a beautiful chapter. I said last week it's kind of like a hinge, a door of a hinge to open the door to chapter 6, 7, and 8. The first five chapters deal with the doctrine of salvation. Chapters 6, 7, and 8 have to do with the doctrine of sanctification. Then chapters 12 through 16 have to do with the doctrine of service. And in the middle you have chapter 9, 10, 11, which is dispensational concerning Israel, the nation of Israel, including Israel in God's plan and program. Even though there are those today that say that God has forsaken Israel, God will never use Israel again. Furthest thing from the truth. They are included, and Paul includes them. So chapter 5 is kind of that hinge. It's kind of that door that hinges and gives us a tunnel to pass through to get over into chapter 6, which has to do with sanctification. And we get a hiccup in this part. We're never going to make it in chapter 6, 7, 8. Never. Get a hiccup here, never going to make it. Get a hiccup in the first three chapters, never going to make it. The service is useless. No need of going to chapter 12 to service if we can't get through these. It's useless. So anyway, chapter 5 begins with therefore. That's a word of... Like a opening a door, therefore reflecting back on what we've said. And it, we've learned in Bible college, when you see a therefore, see what it's there for. Anytime you see a therefore, see what it's there for. So therefore, conclusion, since we're justified by faith, we have the first step to the pathway to this hope is peace with God, making peace with God. We are at enmity with God. We're sinners, born sinners. David even spoke about when he was conceived in his mother's womb that sin was present in his confession. I was shapen in iniquity. That's exactly what he said. I was shapen in iniquity. We're all born sinners. We all come up to an age of recognizing what's right and what's wrong. Boy, that's hard for young people today. It's hard for young people that it's not guided by any kind of parents or any kind of Sunday school. They're totally annihilated from any type of spiritual influence in their life. Boy, it's hard today to choose from good and evil because we live in an evil world. We live in an evil society. And when our law says evil is good, and when our law says good is evil, and just get it backwards, boy, it's hard for young people today to know the distinction, even though they got a conscience like everyone else. But we're born in enmity. We're born sinners, separated from God. We have to make peace with God, and there's only one way to make peace with God. That comes through Jesus. That comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. He didn't say that's one of the ways. He said that is the way. Peace with God comes through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that is the only pathway. So the first step we take is making peace with God. Abraham did that. Second, by whom also we have access, and again, by faith, we have access into this grace. So the pathway to hope is, number one, making peace with God. Number two, by faith, accessing grace. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9, often quoted. So here we find the first two steps that we have here tonight is making peace with God. That comes through Christ and Christ only. Second, it gives this pathway will give us access unto the grace of God. Peace with God before you get grace with God. Grace accesses that through Christ and Christ alone. This is kind of a building block. They all come together. They can't isolate one from another. They all have to fit together like a puzzle. And you leave any piece out, you try to force it any other way, and you don't come up with the right conclusion, a right picture. So, number one, peace with God. That's what we've proven. Second, access by faith into this grace. Number three, it gives us a foundation. It's where we stand. Boy, do we ever live in a flimsy, unsettled society. Nothing sure. Nothing foundational. When you come to Christ, He puts you on a solid rock. He is the foundation, Himself being the chief cornerstone, the rock. So it gives us a standing. Where do we stand? We don't stand in the law. We don't stand in self. We don't stand in any type of rituals or any type of activity that we attempt to accomplish. Our standing is in grace. And if we try to stand in any other thing, we do not have a sure foundation. So it gives us a standing. Number one, we're going to find hope. Number one, we've got to make peace with God. Number two, we've got to access grace. Number three, we've got to have a foundation. Number four, that gives us joy. After we have a standing, we rejoice, and there it is. There's our word. We rejoice in hope. We rejoice in hope. Now, our joy is in the program of God. But the only way you can get the joy from the program of God is to have the person of God. And that's what's wrong with religion, as I've emphasized. They leave the person out. Just like I quoted last Wednesday night, John 6:47, they just left the two little words, "on me," completely out of the text. They took him out. "Whosoever believeth shall have eternal life." Believe what? Whatever you want. You got your way, we got our way, you got their way. All ways lead to the same place. Oh, no, they don't. See, if you mess with the Bible and create your own Bible, then you can come up with your own theology, create your own ways. And they got their way, and they got their way. We got our way, you got your way. We're all got the same way. We're all going, no, it's a lie of the devil. Lie of the devil. So we rejoice in hope. In hope. Now, the word hope is Elpisi, Pisi, Elpisi, Elpece, Elpisi. That's the Greek word. I've never looked that word up before because I always assumed normally little two, three, four letter words are in the appendix. Rather than to go down through and give them all in your concordance, they put them back in the appendix and just give you all the references. You have to sort them out. So I just never really looked. To my amazement, hope was in there. And so the word is Elpasi. And I selected three words that was in the Strong's Concordance that gives us an identity of what hope is. Number one, to anticipate. Number two, expectation. Number one, anticipate. Number two, expectation. Number three, confidence. That's hope. Now, in our human mind, in our human life, when we use the word hope, there's a seed of doubt. May not be. Possible, possible not, when we use the word hope. How many times have you witnessed maybe to loved ones or family or a neighbor or somebody that's your acquaintance and you say, "Are you going to heaven?" And they say, "Well, I hope so." They're not saying that meaning I'm confidently going. You see, they use the word hope, maybe, maybe not. That's not the same word. That's not the same word. This word means to anticipate it, to expect it, to confidently rely upon it. That's the word hope. I've never looked that word. Can you believe it? In 43 years, I never looked that word up till today. Never looked it up because I just assumed it was in the appendix. But there it is. That's confidence and expecting. I'm expecting him to come for me. When? I don't know. Maybe after I'm in the grave, maybe after, maybe before. We had an evangelist come in when I was pastoring down in West Virginia, and he was a West Virginia preacher. He was a gentleman preacher, but boy, was he knowledgeable. and our church really loved him. I think they had him in several years before I went there, and I had him in every year that I was there in the fall of the year. And he was probably in his late 70s back then. And that was back in the late 80s, early 90s. And he told me on several occasions, I don't expect to die. I don't ever expect to go through the way of the funeral home or the grave. I believe the Lord's coming before I ever die. That was back in 88, 89, 90 in that area. Well, he expected it. But he'll have to come up out of the grave and go. You see, if we don't have that confidence, we don't have that hope, we don't have any standing. There's nothing to stand on in this unstable world that you and I live in. And if people's standing is in their religion, and they see how religion crumbles, and then things come out of religion, and things come out of churches, and it's nightmare, it's a mess. And if that's the standing, you see, you can't put your standing in the program of God. You got to put your standing in the person of God. And he lays that out very clearly. This peace with God comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's it. That's it. He establishes it immediately. And then he goes on down as he comes down through this pathway to confidence, expectations, anticipation. When I get up in the mornings, I always thank the Lord. I don't know it every morning. I back up a step or two. But most mornings, I open my eyes and take a handkerchief and rub all the sand so I can get them open. Rub all the sand out of them. Now I finally get them open. I look up and I say, thank you, Lord, for another day. I got a mind. I can get up. I can stand. I can walk. I can think. Thank you for another day. I've got my sanity. What little bit's left of it. and so forth. I anticipate and look up maybe today. I expect him to come any moment. Because he said so. I expect that. You see, that's not a maybe. That's not a hope so maybe. That's a hope so confidence. That's a hope so with expectation, anticipation. We anticipate it. That's what John said to Jesus, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's our hope. And that's what Abraham went on. That's the pathway that Abraham went on. And he believed in hope when it was against hope. All the odds was against hope. Now, so we've got peace with God that only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way we can make peace with God, period. Second, as that happens, and this all happens simultaneously. Dr. Goddard preached a message one Sunday on, 25 doctrines that happens at the same time when you get saved. Very interesting message. All happens at exactly the same time simultaneously. All happens at the same time. And it was very interesting. But anyway, this gives access to the grace of God. And my friend, the second half of our message tonight, we need that grace, as we'll see in a moment. It gives us a foundation where we stand. It gives us joy in the hope. I'm now expecting something. I'm now in this unstable world. I have confidence in something that's going to get me through this day. Got it? And that's what God's people need to be relying on. What kept Abraham going? This hope. This hope. That's what kept him going, this hope. And it was more than just a son. According to Hebrews chapter 11, every day he looked for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God. That's what he was looking for. Looking for that city. I'm anticipating it. As we studied it on Sunday nights, I wanted to go. He's there. Eternity's there. And no more dealing with this world. I want to tell you, just going through the medical field today, I was a bit rude this week, and I meant to be. And sometimes that doesn't come very hard for me. It comes pretty easy. I told the medical field, I said, we don't have to worry about dying from the virus. The medical complications is killing us all. Just going through the stupid stuff. I'm going to tell you something. This actually happened. My doctor gave me, I take a medication to help me sleep every night. I've taken it for years. And now they call it a controlled substance. And I had to get a new doctor because my doctor, when this virus came out, he decided, I'm going to retire. I'm not fooling with this mess. He just retired. So they appointed me another doctor that didn't know me, and I didn't know him. So I sat in the office for almost an hour after I was checked in and everything, waiting for the doctor to come in. I waited almost an hour for him to come in. So I was a little bit heated. My time is just as precious as anyone else's. So when he came in, he said, I'm late because I've been studying your chart. And sir, you are a very sick man. You have got a lot of health issues. Man, I'm going to tell you, after 5 minutes, I thought, man, I've got one foot in the grave and he's putting the other one in right now. I'm telling you, it's exactly what he said to me. I said, yes, I've had some health issues, but I stay very active. I'm up every morning by 5:30. I stay active pretty much all the day. I'm outside working. I go, I run, I stay very busy. And he wasn't a bit interested in what I had to say, period. Then he got to the controlled substance medication. Now, they've been giving me 3 months' supply. You ain't getting that. You're getting 30 days, period. Urine test every 30 days. Yeah, boy. I said, yeah, I am a serious drug addict. I'm going to probably overdose. I started mocking him, and he got mad. So he walked out of the office, never said another word to me. Wrote me a 30-day prescription. I dropped it off at the pharmacy in Newark. Told him I'd be back to pick it up. I told him 2 or 3 days I'll be back to pick it up. I went back to pick it up and they said, you can't have it. I said, what? You can't have it. Your doctor called in and put a 10-day delay on it. He's mad. And I'm mad. And when we meet again, I'm not going to meet him again because I'm going to tell the clinic I'm not going back that quack. Trying to deal with this world. I told the man, I said, there has to be some common sense. I'm a man 73 years old. I've been taking this for years. A doctor prescribed this to me. They've been giving me 3 months quantities for years. There has to be some type of common sense. I made him mad. So he put a 10-day delay on it. Yep. You got to live in this world. Frosty asked me if my neck was any better. No. No. They've pretty well ruled it nerves. Nerves. Nerve endings. They call it a nerve itch, although it don't itch. But when I get stressed out, gets red, burns, and then all of my body is like needles pricking me, like bee stings. It's nerve endings. It's this world we live in. I said to Frosty, I said, I felt like telling him, I'll just take all my medicines, take them over and throw them in the Muskingum. Then I'll jump in after them. Be far better than going through this nightmare. I want to tell you, we're going to need this grace. We're going to need this grace. And this hope, we better keep our eyes fixed. Because you get your eyes fixed, you'll be like Peter, you're going to start sinking. And quit listening to Washington, and quit listening to the news, and quit listening to all this garbage and propaganda that's out there. Just shut your ears off from it. It ain't going to make a bit of difference. God's program is going to run accordingly as He wants it to run. Do my part as an American, pray for it, pray for our leaders, vote, be an American patriot and stand up for our country, stand up for our Savior, but quit listening to the propaganda and try to survive on hope. Now we found the pathway to it, now we found hope. There it is. So, you better have that joy and that hope. Because if you got rejoicing in something else, it's temporal. It's temporal. It's conditional. And it won't get you through. It won't get you through. So the rejoicing has to be in that hope. This is a good lesson for a Sunday morning preaching. I may preach this Sunday morning again. People are got their anticipation and expectations in the wrong place. It's got the confidence has got to be in this hope if you want to survive this mess. So it's rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Now, why do we need grace? Here we go. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in, there you are, yep, there you are. Now why is he taking us to tribulations right after clarifying the hope in salvation? Because we're not going to get to heaven in this life after getting saved without doing some maturing, some growing, and so forth. And we're left here for a reason. Left here for a reason. So we don't only rejoice in the hope, but we glory. See, if you got your joy in the right place, then when trials come, you can glory in them. Now, where's he using? This is Abraham. He's using Abraham. Hope came from Abraham. Definitely contributed in chapter 4, hope to Abraham. After taking us the pathway to that hope, he goes immediately to tribulations, trials, tests. Now, Abraham lived 175 years. First part of that was in Ur of the Chaldees. He was approximately 70, 75 when he left out of there. So about 100 years. And I'm saying now approximately. Don't nail me down precisely out there. Precisely. I'm not precisely. I'm just saying approximately. He lived to be 175 years old. Now, you've got a few chapters in Genesis about Abraham. Then he's mentioned periodically in the New Testament here and there, like in Hebrews here and other places. You can't know all about a person in 175 years of life in a few chapters. Right? So we don't know all what this man went through. We know he failed a couple times. They're recorded. He went into Egypt. He went into down with Abimelech, into the Philistine. He lied. Lost his peace, lost his wife. He failed a couple times. It's recorded. Not recorded in Hebrews, just his faith, not his failures. But we don't know what all this man went through on his journey as he was seeking the city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God, all while on his confidence, his expectation, his anticipation, this hope, against the odds, against hope, against expectating, against, totally against expectation, anticipation, against confidence, totally against it, yet he believed in it. So Abraham again becomes the example. And we don't know what all, we know some of the trials he went through. He was tested. We don't know what all. Now, I want to tell you something, friends. You need grace for that. And this same grace that we accessed to get our standing in Christ, we have access to every single moment of every day. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd never make it from day to day. We never make it from day to day. And as time goes on and this world becomes unhinged, completely off, it's completely off the rail. This country and this world is completely off the rail. We've derailed. And we're headed for judgment. God is in control. So you and I tonight, as a child of God, and to those of you that I'm speaking to by Facebook tonight, we must, like Abraham, against the odds. It may look against something that we can anticipate. It may look against something we can expect. It may look against something we can have confidence in. But yet we believe in it because God said it. That's where we stand. And that's what we joy in. We rejoice in that to the glory of God. So when these tribulations come, and I want to tell you, some days you think, wow, can there be anything else happen? Some days it's kind of just sailing like a breeze. And other days, as soon as you get up, whammy. And it's whammy all day long. And again, many times it's the little foxes. It doesn't have to be something big. It can just be little, irritable, crazy things that drives you nuts, like a doctor putting a 10-day hold on your medicine. He would be a good one to replace Donald Duck. So we glory in trials. How many of us in here tonight can honestly say, every time I go through a tribute, every time I go through a trial, I glory in it? How many of us can say that? See, we've got a long ways to go. Right? That's exactly where God took Paul. I don't have the time. We'll look at it a little bit next Wednesday night over in Corinthians, where God gave Paul a thorn. He gave it to him for a purpose. And when Paul found out the purpose of it, he said, therefore I will glory in my tribulations. I will glory in them. Most welcome. Bring them on. If this is going to make me better, if it's going to help me, I will glory in them. Any man had the right to glory in himself, he certainly would have had that right, but he didn't. God gave him a thorn to keep him humble, so he wouldn't glory. Now, once we open the door here to this, that's why we need grace. That's why we need to access it. And the same grace we access to Christ for salvation is the same grace we're going to need over in chapter 12 for service. Therefore, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's where you get into service over in chapter 12. But you can't jump from chapter 5 to chapter 12, because there you got three chapters in there that get you prepared for service. And that's what he's doing right here. It's the door that swings to chapter 6. It's about grace. And without the grace of God, you and I don't make it through these trials. And even at best, oftentimes we fail. Oftentimes we fail. Because we fail to access the right avenue. We fail. This old flesh loves to defeat us. Now, tribulation is going to produce something. Trials will produce something. It's called patience. Trials are for the purpose to produce patience. How many of us in here have an abundance of patience? See, we've got a long ways to go. Isn't it amazing how quickly he jumped into this? After all he brought us through in the theology of it, in the illustrating of it, and all of that, isn't it amazing that he jumps quickly right in to everyday living? Remember where your stand is. Remember where your joy is. Remember that hope that's taking you day after day, because God's got you on a pathway for a purpose. And that pathway is going to include trials, tribulations. And that is for the purpose to develop patience. And you're looking at one of the most impatient creatures that God ever created. And you know, the older you get, and you try to reach back somewhere in your bank back here somewhere and pull up some type of a justification. But the bank is bankrupt. There's none back there. You can't find any. Now, here it is. Here it is. Patience produces experience. Experience. And experience produces, there's your word, right back to hope. That is so masterfully put there. That is so, only the Spirit of God could take us into that. Starting with hope, that which I anticipate, that which I expect, that which I confidently wait for, that hope, it's in Christ where I stand, and the grace that I access daily and rejoice in this hope that God gives me. And on the pathway, as I wait for this hope to be fulfilled, wait for the anticipation to become reality, wait for the expectation to be fulfilled, wait for the confidence to be absolutely manifested before me, before my very person. I'm there. I've reached it. I've got to go through some trials, and those trials give me patience, and those patience give me experience. And the more experience you get, the easier the trials should become. Why? Because you look back at this experience that you had and the trial that you had, and you see how God brought you through it. You see how God made a way through it, and you see the end was far better off, and so forth. We're going to look at some verses over that Paul gave to the church at Corinth, including himself, next Wednesday night, but we're out of time tonight. So the experience takes you right back to hope. Last word in verse 4, right back to hope. And we are to be building a life of experience. Experience. And I want to tell you, not all those experiences are victorious. Not my life anyway. I wished I could say they were. but not all those experiences. So we learn that way. We can learn, like Abraham, all of his experiences were not successful. He failed in some of them. But God didn't remember him over in Hebrews chapter 11, just his faith. But we know he has some failures in his experiences. So not all experiences are victorious. But the process is, the more trials I have, the more patience I get. Let me say that again. Just sink down into your ears, into your heart. The more trials I have, the more patience I get. If I access grace. And the more patience I have, the more experience I get. If I access grace. And the more experience I have, the more of a reality this hope is in my life. And he takes him right back to that hope. Isn't that beautifully laid out? Why? Because he's about to get over into another. He's about ready to take his readers into a new area. And if we don't get it right here, we're going to stumble and bumble all the way through until we find that city that has foundations. So there it is, the path to hope, taken from Abraham as the example. And next week we'll look a little bit. Now, I just want to say, in verse 5 he says, hope maketh not ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed in this hope. Was Abraham ashamed when he come up out of Egypt? Was he ashamed when he made a baby with Hagar? Was he ashamed when he stood before Pharaoh and found out he was lying? Or before Abimelech when he found out he was lying? You see, if the path is not clearly followed by God and the instructions, a lot of times we end up with egg on our face, and it's self-inflicted by ourselves. So that hope, that's what we live by and for every day in which we exist on this earth until God takes us home. Amen? All right. Thank you, Facebook friends, for connecting with us tonight. Until Sunday morning, we'll be back live Sunday morning at approximately 11 o'clock. So until then, stay safe, stay blessed, and thank you for being with us again on this Wednesday night Bible study. All right, thank you for coming out tonight. Shall we stand? Our Father, again, as we have prayed tonight, all these prayers, and certainly some praises, like Jeremy Brenham, Lord, give us man life. He has a young family. Thank you for what he's done, what you've done thus far for him. May the surgery go well. May it be successful. And for others, Lord, we've prayed your will be done. Many are terminally ill, sick. Thank you, the young boy over in Adamsville is doing better. Lord, you answer prayer. And sometimes our prayers are answered in a way we did not anticipate, but yet we know that you hear us. So we lay these at your feet. Send help, as you promised, from your throne to every request. We collectively, as a body of believers tonight, say amen and send help, Lord, for every need. Thank you for our Bible study tonight, for the Spirit of God that guided and led us into the wonderful truths of this book. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Keep us safe. Keep our church family safe. Keep us blessed. And Lord, dismiss us with those blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.